with the lesson that I have in mind to share with the congregation. And so, I at this point highlight to us that the topic is withdraw yourself. Withdraw yourself. And this is based from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And if we pick up at verse 6, then it says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." Now, the purpose, the hope in this lesson is that we will be enlightened about concepts of withdrawal of fellowship and how to treat with a brother or sister who has been disfellowshipped. And so when we take the word withdraw, then the concept behind this is that there ceases or there is a stop towards having fellowship with that brother or sister. It does not mean, let me quickly say, that we are going to bring injury to that person and their character and name. It is not a spirit of revenge. It is not to inflict any positive punishment. And let me hasten to say that withdrawal of fellowship is actually a tool that has been designed by God Almighty, by Christ, to encourage and to uplift our brothers and sisters. So let them recognize that a state of being unruly is not one that they should be comfortable with. And so as we embark on this study this morning, then one of the first things I want us to consider is, for what reason ought we to withdraw ourselves? And the answer comes in verse 6. "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." Now, we are seeing here that one who walks disorderly ought to be disfellowshipped, or we should withdraw fellowship from such a person. And it says, and those who walk contrary to what the apostles have taught of us. And we observe in the church, time and again we will see brethren who come up with some weird concept about Christianity and would want us to embrace this. And so it is that when a person embraces false doctrine, then this is a reason for us to disassociate ourselves from such a person. For what reason should we withdraw ourselves? Well, if the person walks disorderly and walks contrary to the apostles' doctrine. And we see Paul highlighting this in passages like Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 following, a passage that many of us are very familiar with, where it says, read,
"I marvel
that
ye are so soon removed from him that calleth that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Unto another gospel. And so what we are seeing here is that false teaching is one reason why we should disassociate ourselves. We should withdraw fellowship. Because this is not in keeping with the will of God. Continue reading.
Which is not another.
Notice, when a person goes, start teaching another gospel, it's not really another gospel. Because it is not the gospel. And so, we are seeing that we cannot condone this practice because God doesn't condone it, the apostles doesn't condone it, and no heavenly being condones it. You know, we'll see if any other person comes, if even an angel from heaven comes, then we should not embrace this. And then sometimes it now becomes easy for us to say, well, we can recognize that if a person comes and starts saying God is not real, then it's probably not so hard for us to start disassociating ourselves with such a person. If a person starts to say, well, we ought not to recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then it might not be so hard for us to disassociate ourselves with such a person. In fact, for members of the church, if we recognize that a brother comes and says, you know, we should set up a piano and start playing music and blowing the trumpet and so forth while we are worshiping and speak strongly about it, then we may not have any problem whatsoever saying to such a person, we need to disassociate with you. But I want us to think a little deeper. To recognize that it is not just a handful of things for which we should probably take this type of stand. In fact, I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1, Paul said something very interesting. The same writer of Galatians chapter 1. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, read.
Be ye followers of me.
Be ye followers of me.
Even as I also am of Christ.
Even as I also am of Christ. Now this is very consistent with his writing in Thessalonians. The same author. The same Paul. In Galatians, the same Paul is writing. And now we are seeing in Corinthians, he's saying, be a follower of me so long and as far as I am a follower of Christ. But you know what I find quite interesting? That after Paul makes a profound statement like this, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ, he went on to talk about several things. So he went on and he had a whole narrative about reasons why men ought not to cover in worship and why women ought to cover in worship. And you know what was his conclusion in verse 16? Well, let's read verse 16.
But if any man seem to be contentious,
if anybody seem to be contentious,
we have no such custom.
Be it known that we have no such custom for the congregation here in Corinth. That's what it says.
Neither the churches of God.
So, not just the church in Corinth, but no matter where the Church of Christ exists, we have no such custom of women going uncovered in worship and men going covered in worship. But notice that this came on the as a follow-on of a statement. What was that statement? Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. But not only that, he went on to talk about the Lord's Supper. And in talking about the Lord's Supper, he's saying some persons don't respect and don't understand what it is to what the Lord's Supper is all about. And so we ask ourselves, when we take the Lord's Supper, are we mindful of what it represents? You know, there are persons in the, let me call it the Christian world, that will tell us that we ought to take the Lord's Supper once a year. You know, once every 3 months. So if we have a brother or sister coming and saying to us, you know, the Lord's Supper is a memorial. You know, memorials are anniversary. So we are going to do it every year and not every first day of the week as have been clearly stated. Then what we will find is that this constitutes false doctrine and teaching. And so again, this would have been something premised on what Paul started this whole narration about when he said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. And then it's almost like it continued now in chapter 12, where he went on now to start talking about the Holy Spirit. And isn't this one of the things that we find that the whole Christian society, you know, if we bring in the denominations, have gone awry on, where they are telling us that you are not a Christian if you're not speaking in tongues. If when you are in worship, you are not jumping and prancing. And so Paul keeps going and going and talking about all of this. And I'm putting to us that he premised all of this, all of these discourses, all of these discussions about things that are really doctrinal issues on the fact that we ought to follow him as he followed Christ. And so we ask ourselves, are we embracing false teaching and doctrine? You know, covering the Lord's Supper, spiritual gifts, all of these things that Paul spoke about. But so that I don't lose you, I want to just bring us back to where we started. In 2 Thessalonians, I remember we're going to be sticking to 2 Thessalonians. Even when we go, we're going to come back. Chapter 3 and verse 6. It's saying that we should withdraw ourselves from persons who have been disorderly and have not stayed, or they have gone contrary to the words of the apostles. And so I've highlighted to you not just the fact that we should withdraw fellowship from persons who have gone off in things like the Sabbath. We can relate to that easily. Playing of instruments. But we need to introspect and we need to look and say, what false teachings have we been keeping, drawing close to ourselves? Because that's what we want and that's what we like. And that's what we grew up learning and understanding. And so even though I've come into the church, I have not really let go of it. And what we are saying is that a person who continues to walk disorderly, who continues to disregard the teachings as we have seen them in the New Testament, from such a person we need to withdraw ourselves. So for what reason should we draw for persons embracing false teaching. But we should also withdraw from persons who live immoral lives. Persons who continue to live immoral lives, we should make sure that we withdraw ourselves from such a person. You know, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's pick up at verse 1 and have that read.
Furthermore, then we beseech you,
yes,
brethren,
yes,
and exhort you by the Lord Jesus,
yes,
that as ye received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God,
mm-hmm,
so ye would abound more and more.
I want you to recognize that even though I've sort of put this as a second point, it's still coming back to the general principle that we need to follow what the apostles taught. Alright? You see, it's not just about doctrinal matters. The apostles taught us how we should live moral lives. Alright? Continue reading.
For ye know that the commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus,
yes,
for this is the will of God,
yes,
even your sanctification, mm-hmm, that ye should abstain from fornication,
yes,
that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor,
mm-hmm,
not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God,
mm-hmm,
that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. All
right. I want us to recognize, because that this act of being immoral, one of the things mentioned is that of fornication. And sometimes we jump on that wagon quickly. And guess what? We ought to. Because a person who continues to live in a life of fornication, God is not pleased with such a person, and we need to take a stand. But let me also continue, because the very same passage also mentions that if we treat with our brethren in a way, the person we deal with, we take advantage of them, or you take disadvantage of them. If that's how you deal with persons, you know, persons who are in a worse off state, then you take, I'm going to say disadvantage. You take disadvantage of a person. God is not pleased with that. And if you continue to live a life like that, then God is going to be displeased with you. Guess what? You are not walking orderly. You are not walking orderly, you are walking contrary to the dictates of the New Testament. You know, I was going to skip this, but let me read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Pick up at verse 11. Because it just expands, it speaks about the same thing, but it just expands on it.
But now I have written unto you, yes, not to keep company.
Mm-hmm. And this is the same Apostle Paul. It's like he, you know, like to understand what Paul teaches, you know, you can't just read all of it, you can't just read all of his epistles together, because it's almost like he's saying the same thing in different ways, talking to different congregations. Yes, continue.
If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator.
So alright, so you see, again, he highlights the fornicator. Right? So he's saying, this is the only person that we are interested in, the fornicator. Yeah? Alright, let's continue reading.
Or covetous. Or
in the same, in the same verse, in putting the covetous with the fornicator. So if we are covetous persons, we are in the same category as the fornicator. If we are comfortable with that state, our end is going to be the same. When I started and I said that we are all on a journey to heaven, and we ought to be able to help each other, it was a statement of purpose. Because, you see, sometimes we get the concept that if I don't do certain things, then I'm okay. Not realizing that what the devil is hitting at me for or with, that's not what he's going to be hitting another person. And so we have to be on the guard at all times. And did it stop there? So we hear about the fornicator, we hear about the person covetous.
Or an idolater.
An idolater.
Or a railer.
And if I ever go into the idolater thing. Because idolatry is not that I sit down and I'm bowing and worshipping and saying, oh my God, to the flowers. It is anything that takes the place of God. You know that's easy to happen. Is it our job? Wow. Is that easy? When we think and say, boy, if I lose this job, what is going to happen? That can easily become our idol. That comes first before anything else. We drop church because work calls. Easy to happen. Your family. Our hobbies. TV, internet, Facebook, soap opera. You know, all of these can be things that take us away from God. So we have to be on the watch. My education must come first. And you know, we sort of instill this concept in our children. And it's not a bad concept. Education is important. In fact, for generations, it is a statement that has helped many a persons who grew up in poverty, where their grandparents and their mother says, get some education into your head. You know, it will take you out of poverty. And we instill this and we instill this. And guess what? Many actually rise up out of their poverty. You know, a good person that I associate with says they grew up into an environment where their grandparents worked the farm and they work hard, they have to get up early and sun hot and whatever. And they always encourage that child, study your book. You know, don't worry, come to the farm with me, study your book. And they were proud when the child excelled. And so, yes, education is important. But even as we instill secular education, let us also instill spiritual values and importance of Christianity in our children. Because we can easily, without even realizing it, teach them that your God is education. And so, you have homework? Don't worry, come church. Focus on your SBA. That's easy. You know, there are some extra classes that I want you to participate in. You know, in the week it's hard. You know, there is an all-day Sunday program that's going to do math, English, and all of those strong C6 subjects. You know, we're in a Sunday school and church thing for the next 2 years that you're going to be studying. Go get education. What is? Well, you know, all of that wasn't in my head when I prepared the list. All of that. But that was idolatry. And then sometimes we often just think about idols in things that we bow down and worship. But anything that takes us away from God, that takes first place, is idolatry. So So we are saying immoral lives, and we're bungling in all of that. Fornication, covetousness, idolatry. Mention anything else in that passage?
Or railer.
Railer. Alright, alright. Let me not even go off with that one, alright?
Or a drunkard.
A drunkard. Alright. So, can we drink any at all? Yeah. But let us not get drunk. Everywhere, I'm just dropping this again. You know, because sometimes, and this can go over into the false teaching, you know. Because we can say, you know, as a Christian, you must not drink. If you drink, you're gone to hell. But I want us to do this as a personal study. Everywhere where we see God, Christ, the apostles condemning drinking, it's always in excess. It's always saying, do not do it in excess, where you lose control. Right? But that's not my lesson either. But just to say that if a person comes and starts saying, you know, sometimes we try to do this. We want the church to be holy. So we don't want to encourage anyone to even get the chance of being drunk. So we say, do not drink at all. And we say, if you drink any at all, then we are going to disfellowship you. Right? So, you know, you would have crossed the border now, and you would have been teaching false teaching, because you are teaching what God did not say. But I'm here. Immoralized. And we are saying that it is not just when we embrace false teaching that we have started to walk disorderly, and that we have started to walk contrary to the teachings of Christ, but when we live immoral lives. You know, read verse 8 for me of the same Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 8.
He therefore that despiseth not the man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit.
Alright. You said sometimes when we do certain things, we do not see God. We see each other. But I find verse 8 to be quite interesting, because it is saying that when we practice when we have an immoral life, we are really rejecting God. We are not really just rejecting man, but we are rejecting God Himself. And so this is why now, when the church then says we are going to disfellowship this brother or sister, we are no longer going to be associating ourselves or seeing this person as a brother or a sister, We are ready to criticize the church member, the leadership, when in reality our action is really impacting God. You know, years ago, I think Brother Fisher had a preacher lesson, and he made this a statement that goes something like this. When the church would have disfellowshipped someone, they would have already been disfellowshipped in the sight of God. We're just following through. And if we go back to 2 Thessalonians, remember I said, don't leave that passage any at all, because that's the base of our lesson. And we read verse 6 again. All right, could you read that for me, brother?
Now we command you, brethren.
Brethren,
in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ,
in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ,
that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly.
That you withdraw.
That you withdraw yourselves.
That you withdraw yourself. That you withdraw yourself. You know, among the things coming out of that statement or that phrase is that God has already withdrawn himself. No church, no brethren, you withdraw yourself from that person. In fact, before God withdrew himself from that person, by their action, they would have already withdrawn themselves from God. So guess what is happening here? We read, and this is sort of where I'm leading to sort of conclude the lesson. That when we publicly say we have withdrawn fellowship from brother or sister, guess what? They would have already been out of fellowship with God. And really and truly what we're doing, we are helping them, because sometimes they are out of fellowship with God and don't know. They are in ignorance. And guess what? They being in ignorance, thinking that they are okay, and we are going and we're seeing what they are practicing, and we are pretending like it's okay, we're not helping them. And so withdrawal of fellowship is actually a good thing. But a lot of times when the action is taken, we do not see it as such. We see it as persons picking on us. And them so fast, why they not keep their mind their own business, which is something I want to talk about in a short while. So what we are saying is that for what reason should we withdraw? We are saying it's not just for false doctrine. It's not just for immoral lives, but for idleness and for busybodiness. So, if we are idle and we are busybody, then we are told that that is one of the reasons to disassociate. Yeah, pick up at verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3.
For even when we were with you, mm-hmm. this we commanded you,
yes.
that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
Yes. Read.
For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly,
yes.
working not at all,
yes.
but are busybodies. Know them that are such, we command.
Mm-hmm. Continue.
Know them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. that with quietness they work and eat their own bread.
All right. So what we are seeing here is that a person might be living a morally upright life. All right. We don't see them being covetous. You know, they are here all the time. You know, we look and say, this is a good example of being moral. Person not teaching any false teaching. In fact, they are helping to evangelize. But if such a person is idle and a busybody in other people's business, consistent, they continue to do this, then what we are saying, or what the passage is saying to us through the Apostle Paul, is that such a person is subject to be disfellowshipped. We ought to withdraw. And then I wonder if we start seeing the trend here. What we are seeing is that when we withdraw our fellowship from such a person who is teaching false teaching, leading an immoral life, being a busybody, we are helping the person. Because it's easy to be going on and on like this and don't even realize. Alright, and so once a person continues in this action, alright, and I keep saying this, And somebody might ask, why you keep saying continue? You know, one of the reasons why I'm saying that, we're not saying that we're going to be here waiting and saying, you know, the minute we say Audrey, then we don't disfellowship. What we are saying is that the person would have continued in this state. And it assumes that we would have encouraged the person. We would have taught the person the error of their ways. But when the person gets this and still continues to do so, then we ought to withdraw fellowship from such a person. You know, there's a principle I call the ETH principle. The ETH principle. Which verse in there we see walketh? Sign that. Is it verse 6? Yeah, the same. Read verse 6 for me again.
Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly.
From every brother that walketh. You know, some of us, we don't really like the King James Version. Right, some people are excited, like the only Bible is really the King James Version because they like the thou and the eth and so forth. Right, some persons, they like to read a more modern translation because it sounds more like how we talk today. Right? But I particularly like the King James Version for the ETH. You know, probably I'm not a good English student. But everywhere where I see the word ETH on a verb, what it is telling me is that it continues. Alright? And so, when the verse says, walketh, it's saying the brother who continues to walk. So it's not the person who did something wrong one time, alright, recognize that they're wrong and made the necessary adjustment and has moved on. It's the person who continues to practice false teaching, immoral actions, busybodiness. It is this type of person who will reach a point because you are continuing in this way even when a person says something to you, then we need to withdraw. Because we're trying to help the person. Tempted to stop the lesson here. But let me make some comments. So somebody would ask the question, when we now withdraw ourselves, what happens? Exactly what do you mean? Does it mean that we stand up at the gate and the person coming to church, we say, you're out of fellowship. You can't come in here. Is that it? I hear somebody say no, and I join with that no. That's not what we are saying. We are not saying that. In fact, we want to recognize that we're helping the person. So since we are helping the person, then certain things are going to hold true. Does God want that person to come to repentance? So it is good that the person comes to worship and can probably hear a lesson like this. Then the person can understand that is a case where we are on this journey to eternity, that we're trying to help one another. You know, the person who is out of fellowship is not our enemy. It's not our enemy. So when we see the person on the road, and say, oh, this person has been disfellowshipped. And the congregation here hasn't done this for the longest of while. I'm almost tempted to say ever. But I think it happened in the past. you know, where would literally come up here and say, well, Sister Elaine Turrell, you know, we are happy of how you assist the church. All right, I'm just fixing it up. Well, since brother Roden taping it that it's international, somebody say, you know, I hear it on the internet that Sister Turrell is out of fellowship. So we don't go around saying we don't come from the pulpit. Probably we should, yes. Well, we haven't gone on the pulpit and saying this person is out of fellowship and this person is out of fellowship for the longest of time. Alright? But the truth is that the person is not an enemy. And so when we go and even say so at the pulpit, I remember years ago, is that that question came to my mind. So what now? Knowing that this person is out of it. So does that mean if I'm walking along Waterhouse Drive and the person is going up the road and I'm on the same, then, oh, this person is out of fellowship, let me cross the road so I don't have to say hello to the person? That's not the action, alright? Because, in fact, it should be more, we're looking for an opportunity to say, you know, what happened? You're not coming back. You understand? What we don't want to do, let me put it the other way, what we don't want to do is to let the person feel comfortable that they are fine, or think that they are fine. Alright? So our association with them. So even when we say hello to them, we probably shouldn't make the opportunity pass to say, because if it is now that you start, you invite them out and you're going to have lunch together. And even if you go and have lunch, there's nothing said. It's almost like you're treating them like they are still a part of the family. Then you're not really helping. Right? You're not really helping. Not really helping at all. All right, so it's not that the brother or sister is done for. All right, because God actually wants everyone to come to repentance. So how should we relate? We should speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15. Alright. When Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 says that we must do good to all men, it also means to our brothers and sisters who is out of fellowship. So now that's what we need to close our bowels of compassion towards them. We want to admonish them to do the right thing. That's the essence of it. Verse 14 and 15 of Thessalonians says that. Admonish them to do good. Alright. Second John has one chapter, verse 10 and 11. Let's read that. Because this, I think, encapsulates and embraces and packages nicely what this whole fellowship thing is about. Yes.
If there come any unto you, mm-hmm. and bring not this doctrine, mm-hmm. receive him not into your house, mm-hmm. neither bid him Godspeed. Mm-hmm. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds.
Right. Yes, I think this captures it nicely. When we encourage the person by not disassociating ourselves, we are actually encouraging them in their wrong practice, their wrong action. And so we are actually become partakers of the wrong that they are doing. And guess what? We eventually affect the whole congregation, you know, the whole local congregation. I can just imagine the commentary that John was making about those churches. The seven churches in Asia. Some were good and some were bad in terms of their practices. I don't think it's after 1 week or even a month or even a year that some of these negative criticisms came up. It was probably because the congregation did not take a stand. And so it became the norm. We can't even see anything wrong with it anymore because we're practicing it and nobody says anything. And so after a while, it just becomes like the norm. So, well, I can't end without saying this. Worse like how in a few days it will be October. In a few days it will be October. And then once October comes, we're going to be talking about the fellowship dinner is next month. Yeah, fellowship dinner is November. Alright. And so one of the things we normally say about the fellowship dinner is that it is for all Christians. Whether you can find the money to come or not, we have prepared the dinner for you. But then we usually come around and say, it is for Christians who are in fellowship. Yes? And somebody might say, where you get the base of this? All right, and let me just drop in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, and just have that read. Because when you say to a person, you cannot fellowship with us because you are out of fellowship, we have withdrawn ourselves, you need to get your act together. You need to put away the false teaching, the immoral life, the idleness and busybodiness that you are embracing. Yes, let's have that passage.
But now I have written unto you, mm-hmm. not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, mm-hmm. or covetous, or an idolater, mm-hmm. or a railer, mm-hmm. or a drunkard, mm-hmm. or an extortioner, mm-hmm. with such an one know not to eat.
All right. So when we say this, all right, don't think that we just make up something. This is consistent with what the New Testament teaches. You don't go about having any fellowship meal with the person because they have been withdrawn from. Right? I have really been speaking to the members. All right. But bear in mind, if you are visiting with us, we are always happy to have you. Alright? And we always say, and we mean it in a genuine way, that what we'd want most of all is for you to stop becoming a visitor, but that you become a part of us. Because when you are here visiting with us, you know, you are really just spectating in the worship. Or we want you to be a part of the fellowship. And so, if it is false teaching that you are embracing, then we want you to get out of the false teaching so that we can embrace you as a member of the church. How do you become a member of the church? You hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You repent. You confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you are immersed in water for the remission of your sins, then you can start living a faithful life to Christ because you would have been a part of His family. So in that way, you start embracing Christian teaching. Now, we want all of us that withdraw is a command. Withdrawal of fellowship is an act of love. Withdrawal of fellowship is a way to help. Withdrawal of fellowship is a practice of the Church of Christ. We have shown all of these things. And having said that, we want to encourage each of us not to walk disorderly. Because in walking disorderly, then we are saying to the other brethren that if you continue to do so, God has given us a specific instruction and command not to associate. Withdraw yourself. We hope that you found the lesson to be one that was helpful. to understand what it means to withdraw. Alright? What it means and what it does not mean and what is the purpose of it. We're going to invite the song leader at this time to come and extend a song of invitation.